Long live Thor. My Thorian throw that far from beatable.
You are the player, cause your vision is our vision. The player.
Welcome everyone to ColecoCade 2400, a division of the ColecoVisions podcast. Today we'll be talking about Gorf. And I have a special guest host with me today, RK, from the Toy 2 podcast.
Hey everybody. Yeah, hi. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing just fine. How about you?
I'm doing good too. I'm excited to talk about, you know, Gorf.
Gorf. Galactic Orbiting Robotic Force.
That's right.
But before we get started with talking about this incredible game for our ColecoVisions game system, I want to discuss something that occurred since the last time I put out a video and a little podcast episode, is the Collector Vision Phoenix. Now, they had a Kickstarter that unfortunately didn't get funded, but they did raise quite a bit of money. There is a very good interest in this new system, and what it is, it's a FPGA-based console that actually takes the original ColecoVision cartridges, so you can plug your cartridge in there and play it. It also has built in a core for the Atari 2600, so you can actually plug an Atari 2600 onto this thing, as cartridge into this thing, and play those as well, which is absolutely incredible. Now,
so wait a minute, you can plug these into the same cartridge port?
I think so. Either that, or they have an expansion module. I don't know.
Wow.
But I'm looking at their main page at collectorvision.com, which I'll put a link in the show notes and the video notes, so you can go check this out for yourself, because you still can pre-order these things. And they run at $199, and you have different choices. You can do like a standard pre-order type, or the limited color edition, or the early access one, or the ultimate Phoenix. You can also get an option for Caverns of Death, which is that Cindy Hunter game that Collector Vision did, either a loose card or complete in a box. And you can choose whether or not you want an SNES controller to come with it, because it does use those controllers to play the games on the system. It's actually pretty cool. It also has some built-in games. It has Armageddon, which is like a Missile Command game, a Tank Mission, Zombie Near, which is a really fun game, Light Grid Racing, which is the Tron game for the ColecoVision. They put a chess challenge on there, so I know my buddy. We know our buddy Rick Reynolds will like that. He loves chess games from the Intellivision areas. Yeah. Also has Cindy Hunter, which is ColecoVision's premier game that they've released. It's a really good game. If you've not tried Cindy Hunter, you really got to give it a try. It's awesome. Mech 8's on there. Spunky Supercar, which is a very odd game. Quest for the Golden Chalice, which is the ColecoVision version of Adventure. And it is a load of fun. It's just like the Atari 2600 version, but the graphics are just really amped up.
Are you still a block carrying a sword?
No, you're a little guy.
You're a little guy running around.
And the graphics are absolutely incredible. This is a highly recommended game for the ColecoVision. If you ever played Adventure on your 2600 and you got a ColecoVision, you need to give this game a try. If you've got a multi-cart, like an Atari Max, the ROM is free. You can actually download the game for free and play it. So it's actually pretty cool. And then they also have Princess Quest on here as well. So I'm really looking forward to getting mine. I did the early bird version way at the very beginning when I first found out about it, just to show support to ColecoVision. So I'm really looking forward to getting this. And I'll be doing a video on it once I do get one. They did have a functional prototype at Game On Expo in 2018. They actually could play this thing. They actually have a video of it showing. So it does exist. I mean, it's really cool.
So we, these ROMs that you can download, you can get them at Atari Age. You get them at the ColecoVision website.
Well, the best place, if you want to find a ROMs that you can download for free, the best resource to use is ColecoVisionAttic.com. That's run by my buddy Steven. And he's really good at cataloging all the homebrew ROMs, all the original games. He gives a short description, a video showing them playing, the cartridge box art. There's like a little rating scale there. And if the homebrew is actually free, he has a download for it right there on his page. So you go to his page, look up this Quest for the Golden Chalice ROM, and download it right from there.
Oh, well, I'll be doing that when we finish. I'm going to load that on my car.
It's a really good game. I have a lot of fun with that. I need to stream that game sometime. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But now, we're going to talk about GORF. Before we talk about GORF, we're going to look at the box that GORF came in. Now, typical ColecoVision boxes, they always have a picture of the arcade cabinet on the front, which I absolutely love it when they do this. I love these boxes for the ColecoVision. Now, the ColecoVision was a great system to have for all these great arcade ports. It had a ton of them. A lot of lesser-known ones as well. And GORF is one of those ports to the ColecoVision that's really well done. Of course, on the back of the box, it shows the four screens that you get to play through. It says it plays like the real arcade game. It tells you, here's how you play the game. You prevent the evil robot GORF from conquering the entire galaxy. Defeat one fleet, and GORF sends another. First, wipe out the Astro Invaders. Succeed, and you battle a laser-firing fleet and a diving robot ship. Your next mission, tracking, destroying, expanding invaders, which materialize from out of a space warp. Defeat them and go to the ultimate challenge, a one-on-one duel against the GORFian flagship. It's four games in one! Awesome. Of course, this game came from Child's World. Child's World Children Palace for the low price of $29.97. I love getting these boxes that still have the original price tags on them, too.
I worked at Child World in high school.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, there was always a warehouse on the second floor, a conveyor belt, and so Christmas layaways and all the big toys and stuff, they were all upstairs, and we would have to, send them down. Somebody would call up, and we'd have to send them down, and the warehouse was as big as the floor of the Child World, and I got to play with all the toys.
Well, that's awesome.
I was in high school.
Of course, looking at the cartridge itself, it's a typical black ColecoVision cartridge. It has a little indentation on the back for an overlay if there was one. And my label is getting that dreaded Acti plaque. You can see the glue starting to bleed through the front, which that's unfortunate. You know, these cartridges eventually will be all black sometime in the future from all that glue bleeding through.
You can repair that.
Oh, yeah.
You can repair that.
And of course, the instruction manual, it's only black and white. It's a nice-looking instruction manual. It's GORF by Bally Midway, which has a little picture from the arcade game on the front. Basically tells you how to hook up your ColecoVision, how to plug in the cartridge, what the buttons do. Basically, you just go back and forth, up and down, and you fight. Fire button shows the different screens you're battling through, all that good stuff. Gives you all the point values. And, of course, as always, in the back of these manuals, it always has this little segment called The Fun of Discovery. It basically tells you that this is only the beginning. You'll find this cartridge is full of special features to make GORF an exciting game every time you play. Experiment with different techniques and enjoy the game.
Yeah, that always cracked me up because you could tell that they cut and pasted the different game names for the cartridge.
Yes. It's like, what are these other techniques? I know, let's fry the game.
And in 82, $30 was a lot of money. So, you might have some parents squawking, $30 for the... Well, you know what? Well, it's like, no, I get a lot of gameplay out of it for this kind of money. I get the thrill of discovery. I can maybe discover things that aren't laid out in the manual.
See, if I had one of these when I was a kid, my mode of attack to get my parents to buy me this game is, yes, $30, but look, it comes with four games. That's less than $10 a piece.
Well, that's for gore, yeah. I mean, Atari was smart because, like, they'd have, like, you know, Space Invaders, 160 games, or whatever it was. They would tell you, like, how many games were on the cartridge, meaning how many versions of the game were on the cartridge, which sort of justified the price, I guess.
Oh, yeah, it did.
But I will say about the ColecoVision boxes that you got the arcade logo of the game.
Yes.
And you would get, sometimes they would put on the, on the back of the box or wherever, they would put some of the art from the arcade cabinet. And you got to see what the arcade cabinet looked like. And in the cases of games like Mousetrap and Venture and Pepper 2, games like that, you didn't really notice them in the arcades until the ColecoVision. And I think that the ColecoVision, because that's the, those are the games that they could get the licenses on, I think it actually helped make those games a little bit more popular in the arcades.
Oh, yeah. I believe that, too.
Yeah.
So now, let's move on and talk about Gorf the Arcade Game.
Hmm.
Now, this came out in 1981. And this game was ported all over the place. You had it on the Atari 8-bit. You had it on the Atari 2600, the Atari 5200, the Jaguar, the BBC Micro, the Commodore 64... This game was all over the friggin' place.
You had, in the arcade, you had five missions. Astro Battle, Laser Attack, Galaxian, Space Warp, and Flagship. And on the ColecoVision, you had four missions. Galaxians, due to licensing reasons, they could not include that. But you mentioned that it was on the Jaguar. It was on the Jaguar CD version.
Yes.
And they included all five missions in 2006 on the Jaguar CD version.
Pretty much arcade perfect. And I've seen the CD version for sale at Retro Taco Video Games up in Detroit, Michigan. And it's a cool looking box, but it's the only arcade accurate home port of GORF is that CD version.
Now, it's amazing that this arcade game came out in 81 and ColecoVision released their version in 1982, just 1 year later. And, you know, typical Coleco fashion, they, you know, they had to change certain elements and certain things. But as we have said in the past about Defender and Missile Command and Centipede, those are the reasons why you go out and get an Atari 5200. I really believe GORF is such a great game and such a great version on the ColecoVision is that if you have a ColecoVision, you need to find this cartridge. And if you don't and you're curious, this is one of the games that you own a ColecoVision for.
Oh, yeah. When I got my ColecoVision a few years ago, GORF was one of the earlier games I picked up for the collection because I love it so much.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot of variety. You know, you can't help but notice that, for instance, we're talking about the arcade version. The arcade version had a blue sky background for the Astro Battle.
Yes.
The Astro Battle is actually Space Invaders. And I don't know how they got away with this, because Space Invaders was by Taito, and this was a Valley Midway game. Now, there were 24 Space Invaders in the Astro Battle mission, as opposed to 55 invaders on the actual Space Invaders. But they look the same. It's the same Space Invaders. They didn't disguise them or change them. It's the actual Space Invaders from the Taito game that are in this setup. The difference being between the two versions is that in GORF, you can also move your ship vertically in the bottom third of the screen, unlike Taito's Space Invaders, where you can only go left and right. And you also had a shield, like a force field, that stretched across the screen as opposed to the three individual shield in Space Invaders. But it's basically the same thing, which I kind of like that.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's like, I guess the Gorfian commander gave those invaders a better pay increase or something and brought them over to him.
And the ship itself looks like it's from Gallagher or Galaxian, I guess.
It does. It looks a lot like the Galaxian ship.
But it's actually based on the Enterprise.
Oh, yeah?
Because this GORF was originally supposed to be, when they were writing the game, it was supposed to be a tie-in to Star Trek The Motion Picture.
Oh, wow.
And there really wasn't much resemblance between what they were doing and what the movie was doing, so that was dropped. They changed it to gore.
Oh, we'll play the game for hours just to destroy V'ger at the end. There we go.
Well, if you notice, in the space warp sequence, that's a wormhole.
Yes.
And there was a wormhole in the motion picture, in Star Trek the Motion Picture.
That's right.
I always thought the space warp, to me, it was like another thing that Gorf ripped off. And I'm saying ripped off in a positive way. I really think that Gorf is an homage. It's not ripped off. It's lovingly ripped off. It's an homage to all these other games. That's the way I like to look at it because I love this game so much.
Yeah.
But the space warp to me looked like hyperspace from the original Star Wars movie.
Star Trek,
because the ships coming out of that wormhole, they look like TIE fighters.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do that.
So there's a lot of stealing going on in this game.
You know, well, one of the things I like about the Gorf the Arcade game, the first time I played it was at a Woolworth store in my local shopping mall. And what drew me to the game was the voice. The voices it would do. I love the voices in this game.
They would also mock you, just like Berserk would taunt you.
Yes.
You call that shooting?
Yeah, it's like, some galactic defender you are, space cadet.
Yeah, it's like that.
That's pretty cool.
I mean, who doesn't love a snarky video game?
But you know, like on that first game, Astro Battles, one of the nice things about this version of a Space Invaders-type clone is besides having that protective shield and being able to move your ship up the screen, if you do like a rapid fire, your shots don't go as far. And that comes in real handy when the Vaders start getting too close to that shield because you go up there and just start mashing the fire button and actually blitz right across the screen to destroy a row of Vaders really fast.
Yeah, and it also comes in handy earlier in the level because how many times in Space Invaders did you shoot a missile and it's like, wait a minute, I'm missing because they move.
Yep.
The Space Invaders move. And in this, you can fire again. It'll cancel out that missile that you shot and then you get another chance at shooting more accurately.
Yep, that's a nice feature.
Yeah. Yeah, that was. And I think, doesn't the force field disappear?
Yeah, every time you fire, the force field disappears.
Yes.
So,
which is nice, yeah. So what I like about, do you remember the Sky, Sky Bar? It was a candy bar where each segment of the candy bar had like one had marshmallow, one had cream.
Yes.
So you know, if you were just like eating it, you didn't know like, oh, you were surprised by the next flavor you got. And Gorf is like that. No sooner do you finish one mission that, boom, you're zapped right into another mission, which is like another video game. And that was very unusual for a game from this era.
Oh, yeah, it was. You know, I liked how when the UFO came out, sometimes it would stop and hover and then go off the opposite direction. Or you'd see the Gorfian commander happily bouncing across the top of the screen.
Yeah, and that was the other thing. This was a space shooter, which was, typically kind of a serious. Space shooters were kind of serious in their design and everything. But what I liked about Gorf was that they kind of created this, like, cute robot character like Pac-Man or Q-Bert or whatever. So you got kind of this is a space shooter, but we're not taking it that seriously. So I kind of like that.
And, of course, then we have laser attack, which, you know, you have two formations of enemies, and one of those guys in that formation just files a single laser beam down the screen that you have to try to avoid. And this is the level I usually die on quite a bit, whipping around the screen.
Yeah. And in some home versions, those laser drops can be brutal.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
And in the higher levels on the ColecoVision, it's like, you know, watch out. But very challenging. And again, you get to see the Gorfian robots kind of sitting on top of them.
And then, of course, you know, the missing level out of the home version, except for the Jaguar CD, Galaxians, which is basically a clone of the Galaxian arcade game. But there's one big difference. When these Galaxians come down and start diving on you, not only do they shoot down, but they shoot at an angle off to the sides. And that really trips me up because I'm used to playing Galaxian and not used to having those ships shooting diagonally at me.
Yeah, they're not dropping the missiles straight down. I don't even think they're missiles in the Galaxian level. They're more like
pellets.
The little pellets, the pixels that they're shooting at, and they spit them at you at an angle.
Yeah.
So, and there's clusters of them, so you have to kind of really look out. But other than that, It even looks like Galaxian. The little Galaxian, you know, creatures look like Galaxian.
And, of course, we have the Space Warp level, which we've talked about a little bit already, where mm-hmm. the guys come from the middle of the screen and they start shooting at you like crazy.
Yeah.
That's actually a pretty fun level. Sometimes, if I'm lucky enough, I'll get up close to where they come out and I'll do the rapid fire thing, because you can see little dots where they're going to appear and try to destroy them before they even come out to shoot at you.
Like Gyrus. Yeah, you can start picking them off before they even, you know, come out far. If you wait and they're really at the perimeter of the space warp, you have less of a chance of hitting them and more of a chance of them either colliding with you or just, you know, nailing you.
And, of course, the final level, the flagship, this is probably one of my favorite levels of Gorf. You have this flagship that flies back and forth across the top of the screen, and it slowly comes down lower and lower. And it has its own protective force field, kind of the opposite of what you had in Astro Battles. You've got to shoot through the force field in order to get to the flagship. And every time you hit the flagship, pieces of it fall off because you're trying to fire into this little tiny port to hit its reactor to make it blow up. Or you can destroy most of the ship to get to the reactor and make it blow up as well. Very challenging.
Yeah, you get to make holes in the force field, and if you're really bad at hitting that reactor core, you know, there are times when all that's left is like a piece of metal going back and forth holding the reactor core.
Yeah, yeah.
The rest of the ship is blown away. I like the design of the ship in the arcade, but I really like the design of it in the ColecoVision version. It looks more like a Flash Gordon spaceship from the Flash Gordon comic strip.
Yeah,
it's very fashion looking. So there's a lot of design sense that went into the ColecoVision game. But trying to hit that reactor on the spaceship, it's a little bit like Breakout. You're kind of knocking out pieces to get to that core. So it's a little bit like Breakout, I guess.
Yeah.
And then of course, when you hit the core, you get a show. It's one of those games where it's like, okay, you hit the ship, let's just give you a harder level, now let's move on. You're rewarded with a light show of this beautiful explosion.
Yep. And then, when you advance to the next level, you see these lights on the side of the the bezel of the arcade game. It goes from Space Cadet up to Space Captain. And you go Space Colonel, Space General, Space Warrior, and Space Avenger. I always thought those little lights that would light up on the side were actually pretty cool, let you know how high you're getting up into the ranking.
Yeah, and it also saved memory and graphics and everything else by not having it included in the actual game. It was a light that lit up on the board. And it also added more to the control panel, like you are at the control panel of a spaceship having this stuff painted on the glass. And that was all. I always thought that was a nice touch.
I think the highest I ever got on Gorf was Space General, and that was just by luck. Usually I die, usually the Space Captain level and maybe the Space Colonel level, but Space General I got there a handful of times.
Yeah.
Now on the ColecoVision, they did a pretty good job pouring this game over to the ColecoVision. An interesting little side note here is that the manufacturer that programmed this game for Coleco, Nuvatech Inc., they actually had the Galaxian stage programmed for Gorf, but Coleco dropped it, so the cartridge would stay 16K. So that's kind of interesting, because we know it wasn't included in some of the other ones due to copyright infringement, but yet, according to this information I dug up on ColecoVision.dk, they actually had a Galaxian stage programmed for the ColecoVision version.
Wow.
We need a ROM out there somewhere that's got it.
Probably. I think I played the ColecoVision before I played the arcade version. And I didn't really miss the Galaxian version because I didn't really know about it. Then when I played it in the arcade, I'm like, oh my God, there's something else I have to go through, and I wasn't familiar with it. So it was kind of a surprise, but I've never missed the Galaxian version playing this game. I think this game is so well done on almost any platform, but you know, we are talking about the ColecoVision, but I think the ColecoVision version is beautiful. So You have on the ColecoVision version, on the missions, you get the black space, but you get stars.
Yep.
And I think you even get colored stars.
They're kind of colored, yeah.
Yeah, so you get stars, which something wasn't, you know, you typically would just get a black screen on these games, on the home versions. So there are star fields. You do get the blue sky on the flagship level when you destroy the ship.
Yes.
When it explodes, you will get the blue background, which is nice, and the flashing colors and everything. So you get a UFO flying across the top on the first round of Astro Battle, but then you will get the Gorf robot once you get to the second level of playing Astro Battle. Laser Attack is there with those, and Laser Attack is almost spot on to the arcade version.
Yeah, it's very similar. Yeah,
yeah,
they did a pretty good job with that. But you know, back to Astro Battles, we're not done with that. The force field doesn't disappear.
No.
When you shoot, it stays on all the time.
Yes.
But it can be destroyed by the invaders.
Yes.
Whereas, you know, Laser Tag does look a lot like the arcade version. It's very similar to it. And then, of course, Space Warp. I think Space Warp's a little bit more challenging on the ColecoVision than it is in the arcade.
Yeah, I think it is, too. And I think because it's a home version and you expect them to be sort of like, you know, pared down compared to the arcade, one of the things that used to distract me was how cool looking the wormhole was.
Yes.
I'd be sitting there kind of mesmerized by the wormhole, and I'd be getting blasted.
Yeah. But,
you know, you had to kind of concentrate, and you can do it. You can blast those ships, but that wormhole is a little mesmerizing.
Yeah, plus, you know, it's a little bit harder because on the arcade version, you can see, like, little dots where the ships are going to come from.
Mm-hmm.
This one, there's no little dots in the middle of the screen. They just appear out of the middle. So it's a little bit harder to try to figure out which one's going to come out next so you can try to anticipate and try to destroy him before he comes out.
Yeah, they appear. They sort of just like slingshot around.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
They get big fast. And, yeah, they take – I mean, and it's frustrating when you're sitting there and then one comes out, hits you. The second one comes out, hits you. It's like, oh, come on. So,
especially with those shots they shoot at you. Those things are brutal.
Yeah.
And, of course, you got my favorite level, the flagship in here. It's very similar to the arcade. It's got its protective shield you could destroy. Now, the flagship looks different than the arcade version, but it's still got that small little sliver of an opening as you try to aim for to destroy it.
Right.
Otherwise, you got to destroy most of the ship to get to the reactor to get it to explode.
It does have the glowing reactor, but it does look like a Flash Gordon comic strip spaceship, which I really like that they went ahead and just changed it. I do like that.
It's a neat-looking spaceship, actually. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I think the original arcade version kind of reminded me of a Klingon cruiser a little bit.
A little bit. It had kind of like, from the profile, the fins or the pods or whatever were hanging below it and kind of got in the way of the reactor.
And then after you destroy the flagship, you get a screen that says, congratulations, you've been promoted to either space captain or whatever, how far you're getting up. And then the game recycles again. And the way you know what level you're on is there's a little indicator to lower right-hand side of the screen. It's labeled M. So say M01 for mission 1 or M04 for mission 5. Then it'll say M05 when you get to the second round of the four screens to battle through those, so you know what round it's you're ending on.
And you also get a little fanfare.
Oh, I like the fanfare.
You get a fanfare on the ColecoVision. A little music, you know. Ding, 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 ding. Whoa, 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 whoa.
That's pretty cool.
Now, I think that they packed so much into this, maybe, I don't know if they considered a speech would have gotten in the way of the gameplay, the way on the 5200 they had the speech on Berserk, but things froze.
Yeah.
So each could play. So it would probably not work out as well on Gorf, but I don't miss it. I love it, and I love it in the arcade, but if it had to go, you know, I don't miss it.
No, I didn't miss it at all playing it on the ColecoVision.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think it's a good rendition. You get these flames at the bottom. They look like flames at the very bottom of the screen where your ship is hanging out at. It's like a border along the graphic along the bottom of the screen.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a really good-looking game. And, again, it's one of those games that you should have if you have a ColecoVision.
Yeah, it's definitely one you want to add to your collection. It's a very good arcade port for the ColecoVision.
But if you don't, and you have access to a 2600 or playing 2600 games, the variety of the games is also well represented on the Atari 2600 and is also very addictive on that platform.
Yes, it is.
Well, since this is ColecoVision, I do have to say this is a great-looking game, a great playing game, and it has a lot of repeat value. You just keep going back and playing more and more of it. I actually like it when somebody else is playing it and I get to watch it.
Well, especially when that other person's really good at playing the game.
Yeah, and you get to see everything, the things that you really can't focus on, you know, like the mesmerizing wormhole that kind of, like, gets you killed as you're sitting there staring at it with your mouth open.
Yeah, when you're a bad player like I am, you like to see the upper levels, because even on the ColecoVision version, if you play skill level 4, it is so frantic. It's fast.
Yeah, they just speed everything up.
It's freaking crazy.
Yeah. But anyway, you know, and one last thing to remember, Willie, very important. Gorf spelled backwards is frog.
That's right. Pretty awesome. The player.
Atari. I play on ColecoVision.
You are the player.
Ada, that's too destroyed. Ha 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 ha.